Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. I couldn't be more excited to introduce my friend, this rock star, superstar, beautiful, peaceful, ascetic human being, Arielle Ford. Arielle, it's so great to see you.
Oh, Bella, I can't wait until we can go to dinner again. Zoom is okay, but we can have so much more fun in person.
And we did. So I know you guys are all going to be jealous thinking, God, you got to have dinner with Arielle Ford. I did. And we went to my favorite restaurant called Summer House Santa Monica. And the minutes turned into hours and it was just so fun. And yes, 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 to a second live date, Miss Ford.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't need to give you an introduction because everybody knows who you are. Arielle is an amazing best-selling author, speaker, relationship expert. I consider her a mentor, a friend, someone who's been so generous and good. And today we want to be generous and just talk all about love, you guys. We're going to talk about what, like finding love, keeping love. So let's just hop into this. Arielle, tell me, and I know this is a big question, it's a giant question. It's a question that's been pondered for millennia by the wisest minds on the planet. What, in your definition, what is love?
Well, that is the big question. And, you know, most people, at least the women, single women I come in contact with, think that love is a feeling. Love is that being swept away feeling of being in love. And what that experience is nature's greatest drug high. It's your brain on drugs. It's your brain cascading oxytocin and dopamine and adrenaline and lots of other hormones I can't even describe. But it isn't love, right? It's this great feeling. It's nature's trick to get us to bond and procreate and keep the species going. And it doesn't last. It's good for, it's got a shelf life of 6 months to 3 years. And then it's pretty much game over. And in the process of finding love and keeping love, the most important thing to really begin to understand is that love is not a feeling. Love is a behavior. Love is a choice. Love is an action. Love is a decision. Love is a way of being. And even if you end up with the most perfect soulmate in the universe, there are days when you're going to hate them. And it doesn't mean that you don't love them. So coming to the understanding that real mature adult love is behavior is critical to the success of having a lot, you know, having a long-term, happy, committed partnership. So that's sort of the big picture of what love is.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And you brought back to mind when you were saying love is a decision. I remember being 21 years old in the middle of a toxic, quote unquote, love filled, chemistry filled, anxiety filled, butterfly filled roller coaster of a relationship. And my best friend at the University of Illinois, her name is Karen, maybe she's listening, she handed me a book called The Road Less Traveled. Mm-hmm. And in that book, it said exactly what you're saying. And those words changed my life. Love is not a feeling, it is a decision. It is not a noun, it is a verb. Right. And I thought, oh my gosh. And that started my quest to understand what is love? How can I love? How can I love better? And who would be worthy of this kind of love? And a year later, I used that as part of my process to find Andy, and we met in college, but I didn't realize he was right under my nose for so many years. And making that decision to say, this is a great human being, helped the chemistry to develop. And May 17th, we'll be celebrating our 25-year wedding anniversary. So you guys, listen to what this love guru Ariel is saying. Love is an action. It is a decision. It is a behavior. It is not a feeling. That feeling that Hollywood and Bollywood and Harlequin and social media as spouses to us said, and if your picker's broken and this is the stuff you're doing, it's not necessarily your fault. This is what we're told. There should be love at first sight, instant chemistry. And she's telling you that is nature's way of tricking us into attachment.
Yep, totally. And I so wish I had understood this earlier and I wouldn't have suffered all the stress and anxiety and heartbreak and desperation that I went through earlier. But you just said something that triggered something for me. You said, love at first sight. Mm-hmm. Now, love at first sight is a myth. I think most thinking people understand this. However, I have something that I call love before first sight.
Ooh, what is that?
Before first sight. Okay, so in quantum physics, there are a couple of things that most people agree upon. The first one is that there is no time. There's no past and there's no future. There's only this now moment. And also in quantum science, we know that we all live in a field. We all live in this integrative field where we're already connected to everything and everybody. And there's different words for this. They even sometimes call it the butterfly effect. You know, if a butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazon, it has ripple effects in North America, that sort of thing. So with love before first sight, I invented for myself a thing that I call the golden cord feelingization. And it's something I give away for free on my website. And what this is, it's a closed-eyed process where I take you from your head to your heart. And we go deep into our heart and we focus on feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude. And we get into the scientific state known as heart coherence. And when we're in heart coherence, our electromagnetic field, which is measurable, is actually going out 25 feet beyond our body. So wow. What I ask you to do in this golden cord feelingization is we drop into our heart, we go into a state of heart coherence, and then using our imagination, we see a golden cord of loving light coming from our heart going into the field and into the heart of our beloved. Now, we don't know his or her name. We don't know how or when or where we're going to meet them in the 3D world. But on this unseen plane, in the field, we connect with our golden cord into their heart, and we begin a conversation with them. In our mind, we begin this conversation. I'm open, willing, and available for you to find me, for us to find each other. And we start the relationship. We have love before first sight. And it's a daily practice. It only takes 8 minutes. But you start by talking to them so that when you do finally meet in the real world, there's already a connection established.
Golden cord realization. Is that
feeling,
it?
Feelingization. It's just a play on the word visualization. Because we all know how to visualize, but manifestation happens in the heart, not the head. So on my website, it's soulmatesecret.com. There's a tab called free stuff. Just go to free stuff and hunt around and you'll find the golden cord feelingization. It's there. It's free. And you don't have to be in the state of wanting and waiting for love because there is no deficit of love in the world. Although there's lots of women running around going, I got no love. I got no love. You know, I got proof. I got no love. I got no dates. And it's not true. We all have more than enough love already. And one of the fastest ways to really know that as your truth is to have another daily practice that that I call the love gratitude practice, where you spend a few moments with your eyes closed, and then you see in your mind's eye all the people that you already know love you. Your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, your coworkers, your cats, your dogs. And you just give a little miniature prayer of gratitude. Mom loves me. Dad loves me. Sister loves me. Best friend loves me. And you fill yourself up with all this love that you already have. And then you're not running around like a lunatic with a love deficit thing going on, because you've now filled yourself up with all the abundance of love you already have.
I love that so much. And that gets back to this: love is not a feeling. When we say I have a deficit of love, I don't have anxiety, I don't have butterflies, I'm not feeling the power of lust at this moment. We have all of the love that we need, and we love ourselves. That's amazing. Yeah, you're so right. I love that practice. I'm going to start doing that. That is really,
I do it all the time. I especially do it when I'm in the bathtub. You know, I'll just be relaxing in the bathtub, just allowing myself to call in all the love that I have, whether it's on this planet, you know, or in the ethers, wherever it is, because even though our ancestors are out of body, they still love us, you know. And if you're single, you can call on them to help you bring in your beloved soulmate life partner, because they're, you know, they're hanging out there. They want to make you happy, but you have to invite them. So if you're going to invite them, make sure they have good taste. All right. You don't want to invite a person who had abusive relationships, but you have help on the other side as well.
Arielle, tell me, speaking of bringing your soulmate into your life, how did you meet your amazing soulmate, Brian? Tell the story, because this is one of the best stories I've heard.
Well, I woke up one morning at the age of 43, and I was lying in my bed with my eyes closed, and I was feeling around the bed in search of my 25-pound cat, who wasn't there. And all I felt was this empty expanse of bed. And while I felt how empty the bed was, I had this thought was, oh, shit, I forgot to get married. And I started thinking, how is it possible? I'm 43. I live in Beverly Hills. I have this successful business. I have a million friends. I have this incredible life, and yet I'm single. What's wrong with this picture? And I quickly realized a couple of things. One, all my time and energy was being spent on building my career. And two, I had never really placed an order with the universe of what I wanted my soulmate to be. I had a long list of what I didn't want him to be, but I had no clarity on what the heart traits and qualities were that my soul was most calling for. And so I did a couple of things. I got out of bed. I made a list. It was 9 pages long.
Nine
pages of every prayer, process, and ritual I had ever done to manifest my career. And then I started thinking about, like, you know, how do I most want to feel when I'm with this person? Not like, how tall is he or how much money does he have? How do I want to feel? And a couple of things became very clear to me. I knew at that point that the most important quality my soulmate needed to have was generosity, not with his wallet. I was making plenty of money. I needed someone who was going to be generous with their love, time, affection, and attention. I knew that my soul needed somebody for whom I would be the center of their universe, because my history was, I was always going after the captain of the universe types, the people who were even more ambitious than I was. And those guys don't have any time or energy to give anything. There's, you know, most of them are narcissists. They're all about what's in it for me. And even though I wanted somebody who was successful and accomplished, I also wanted somebody who would, you know, basically put me on a pedestal and worship me. I wanted to be worshiped. So that was an important thing to have. And then I made a soulmate wish list, which was a ridiculous 48 items long. I got 46 of the 48, but it's still too long. It was still too long. And then I just started doing this practice, the love before first sight. I decided that he wasn't missing. I knew that my desire to be partnered came out of some knowingness that I was meant to be partnered. It was just a matter of becoming visible and connected to my partner. He was not missing, but I was missing from the picture. I needed to show up and call him in. So every single day at sunset, I had a love altar. I would sit in front of my love altar. I would put on these chants, these nuns doing these interesting chants that I like listening to. And then I would use my imagination and I would talk to my soulmate, and I didn't know his name. And then sometime later, I couldn't tell you exactly how long it took because I wasn't planning on writing a book about it back then, but I'm guessing somewhere 9 months to a year, through a series of crazy synchronicities, I ended up at a business meeting and there was Brian. And the moment I saw him, I had this sort of knowingness that my life was about to change. The moment he saw me, he freaked out because he had seen my face in his dreams for weeks leading up to our meeting. And so that's the really, really short version of how we met. But just to add one more thing to it, we got engaged 3 weeks after we met, but we didn't get married for another year because I'm a student of Dr. Pat Allen, who always drilled it into us that you have to know somebody for a full year before you commit your life to them. So we were engaged quickly. And then a year later, we ended up having 3 weddings, and our 24th anniversary is next month.
Oh my gosh. We're in a similar trajectory. I love that. 24 and 25. What a beautiful story. And he had seen your face in his dream. So you were both doing, and maybe you didn't call it this then, but your golden cord.
I didn't call it that for a long time. I believe that we had that recognition because we'd already been in a relationship on the other planes for a long time. There was already that connection there.
Wow. And if you have not seen Ariel's husband, he's quite a lovely human being. I have yet to meet him, but he certainly is very hunky in all of his photos.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Well, he's really interesting because I call him my heart chakra on legs, because it's his belief that his purpose on earth is to make sure that everybody who comes in contact with him has the experience of being loved. So, somebody asked me one day, who's your guru? And I started thinking about it. I was like, well, Brian's my guru. I want to be more like him, because that I do not wake up in the morning thinking about how can I make people feel loved. Those are not my first thoughts, but they're Brian's first thoughts. So I sort of get the halo effect of his loving nature.
Well, tell us what's on your coffee mug.
So my coffee mug says on the back, I'm mostly peace, love, and light, and a little go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Bam. Which is a good description of me, you know?
Mic drop right there. mic drop. So let me ask you this. Do you think, how many soulmates do you think we can have in a lifetime?
I think the number's totally unlimited.
Yeah.
But that also comes from what my definition is. I believe a soulmate is first and foremost somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. So the truth is, we already have dozens, hundreds, or thousands of soulmates. And, you know, we get to choose a romantic soulmate to be our life partner. And there is more than just one of those possibilities. This whole Meshuggah thing, we each only get one big love in a lifetime, is just a big fat lie. It is not true. There's no shortage of love at all. What there is a shortage of, though, is women choosing a life partner based on their feelings. Okay, that Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. Not true. Love is an important piece of it, but in order to have a happy, sustainable, long-term, committed partnership, you need to be married to your best friend. You need to have compatibility and connection and good communication. And most importantly, you have to have a shared vision for the future. You have to be in agreement on a bunch of stuff, because as I said earlier, there'll be days when those loving feelings are not there and they'll be replaced with some really ugly negative feelings, and you have to choose to love them anyway. Or as Dr. Laura once said, oh my God, Dr. Laura and I are like so far apart politically, but I love listening to her. And one day she was giving this caller so much grief, and the woman was complaining about something her husband was doing. And Dr. Laura says to her, I want you to imagine that you're in a court of law. You're the defense attorney and your husband is the defendant. And you now have to convince the judge and the jury of their innocence and explain their behavior. Go. And I thought, how brilliant is that? Imagine if you were going to be your partner's defense attorney and you had to get in there and really understand, you know, why they're acting out the way they are, why they're behaving. And of course, you know their history. You can probably figure it out. You know, you inadvertently press some button and now, you know, their hair's on fire. Be their defense attorney, be their best friend, and choose someone, for God's sakes, choose someone who's going to take a bullet for you and be your best friend.
100%. It's funny, you know, this gets back to, I always say, choose an elevator person, right? And this, I know we've talked about this on the show before, and this comes off of my October TED talk about how we, especially women in the case study I talked about, and I made a joke, and it wasn't even a joke. I opened up the TED talk. I said, I've worked with thousands of people to help them find love. And what do you think the number one thing that every woman says to me when I say, tell me about your dream guy, what is he? And the answer ubiquitously is tall. He's taller than me. Ideally, he's over 6 feet. If you could see Arielle right now,
oh my God,
her head is in her hands, right? And here's the thing. Ladies, gentlemen, if you're listening to this, understand, if you've been doing this stuff and you're what I call your picker, if your relationship picker is broken, it's kind of not your fault, right? Because we're dating from our caveman brains. We're looking for someone who's, you know, the big burly caveman that can protect the village from marauders and hunt down the buffalo and bring the big buffalo home. And so when you look at, and for men, it's the same way. For men that are looking for women, I want someone younger than me who's hourglass shape. Why? Because until the year 1900, we were living until we were 30 years old. So if you were younger than me, kind of nubile looking, had good hips, I was caveman. Bella was kind of like, you know, you look like you could probably deliver 8 kids. 6 of them are probably going to die, but you know, let's have a go at this, right? Even before we had language. So when people tell me, well, I can't choose who I'm attracted to. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
There's a reason why the divorce rate in India is only 10%, right? Arranged marriage is still a thing. There's something to be said for having the parents be able to select somebody that has the same background and culture and values, and then the chemistry grows, right? But if you're choosing based on the butterflies, you're screwed. You're totally screwed. I can't tell you how many people who have great sex every night get divorced, right? Great sex is no indicator of a long-term relationship, right? But knowing that somebody shares your values, is going to be there to hold your hand on the good times and the bad times, who actually wants to be your cheerleader. You know, there's scientific proof now that the people who live the longest, happiest lives are married to their best friends.
100%.
Harvard did a 75-year study on this. It wasn't the richest men that lived the longest. It wasn't, you know, the most athletic. It wasn't the tallest. It was the ones with the best relationships.
Yeah.
Did you know, Bella, that single and divorced men die 7 years earlier than married men?
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, probably, hopefully, happily married men, badly married men.
But even the badly married men still have somebody looking out for them. They still have companionship.
Yeah, you're right. And about the arranged marriage thing, I don't think I've ever shared this before in, you know, on this show. My parents met on a Sunday, April 20th. They were engaged Thursday, April 24th, and they were married 72 hours later. Pat Allen would not have any of this. They were married 72 hours later, and they'll be married 53 years. Has it been easy? Hell no. They got married. They emigrated. They didn't know each other. They're now US citizens. But in India, what they say, it's commitment first, then love.
Yes.
You will fall. My mom used to tell my high school friends, my mom was probably a dating coach without even knowing it. She said, girls, let me tell you something. And she was talking about spending time with bad guys that weren't worth our time. If you live with a toad long enough, you will learn to love that toad. Basically, like, God. And so, you know, Renu became famous about, if you live with the toad long enough, you're going to learn to love that toad. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's a toad. Get out of the relationship. So there's a lot of history and there's a lot of sage wisdom in old cultures, the Jewish culture, the Indian culture, so many of our cultures. But yes, it is. And we have so much of this stuff the other way around. And I hope that you guys, I hope that you listening to this, whether you're walking to work or you're driving or you're brushing your teeth, that this is setting in with you. I married my best friend who had been my best friend for 6 years. And I dated a bunch of people that, you know, some were good guys, some were toads. For sure, this is probably why my mom was lecturing all of us on toads. And ultimately, I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, he will say this as the man. What carries this relationship through is this deeply rooted friendship that we have with each other, because we have a shared history. We have shared values. We want the same things for our lives. When we differ with each other, which is often on a daily basis, we know nobody's going to throw the microwave at the other person. Nobody's going to screech out of the driveway and come back 7 days later, right? We know how to navigate that conflict because we navigate it like we're still friends.
Right. And you're a team, right? You took sacred vows. You made agreements in front of God, goddesses, and the entire pantheon of everything, right? That you are going to be all in. And that's the other thing, especially in the Western world, people don't really get. It's, you know, we're so disposable. You know, it's like, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll get divorced. I'll give you some really frightening statistics. So we all know that the American first marriage divorce rate is 50%, and that's been pretty steady for a long time. What most people don't know is that 62% of second marriages and 71% of third marriages end in divorce. So just thinking the grass is going to be greener or it's going to be better somewhere else. No, the truth is finding the soulmates, the easy part, learning how to live with them is a whole different thing. And then when you're single, you can't even imagine, you know, because you have this thing, oh, we're going to live happily ever after. You're going to live ever after, yes, and you're going to choose the happy part. You're going to learn how to be happy. You're going to learn how to communicate. You're going to learn how to compromise. But first, you have to agree to be all in. You have to just say, okay, I've made this vow. I'm taking this ride. I'm having this commitment. You know, and then do what it takes to make it work, because it is worth it. I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, knowing that there's somebody in the world to be a witness to your life who cares about your emotional and physical safety as much or more than you do.
100%. Someone who has your back at all times, right? Even when they might not want to, even when you're in a fight, you know that they're going to be the defense attorney to your defendant.
Right, exactly.
Right? I love that. And, you know, that's such a great thing. You've got to be all in, right? And have somebody that has your back. So if you had to say, you know, is there an unknown secret to relationship success that you want everyone to know?
Yes. Yes. And this is from the guru of marriage, Dr. John Gottman, who is the absolute godfather of everything needs to be known about marriage. And he says that every couple has a minimum of 9 irreconcilable differences. These are things you're never, ever going to agree on. And it's not a barrier to having a happy relationship. So the most common ones are sex and money. You want it once a month. He wants it twice a day. You know, money. One person's a spender, one's a saver. One person's always on time, one's always late. One's a clean freak, perfectionist, neat freak. The other one's a messy hoarder slob. And this is normal, but we live like there's something wrong and we're constantly trying to change them. And, you know, it's not about changing anybody. It's about two things. One is learning how to come up with creative solutions, you know, creating a win-win situation out of something that looks impossible. And sometimes manipulation's involved. I'll talk about it in a moment. Manipulation's okay. You know, and the other one is practicing what I call the art of wabi-sabi love. And wabi-sabi is the ancient Japanese aesthetic of finding beauty and perfection in imperfection. Because we're all imperfect beings trying to have perfection in every area of our lives. We want our homes to look perfect. We want our kids to be perfect. We want to be perfect. We especially want our mates to be perfect. And it's never going to happen. There is no such thing as perfection. But could we learn to live with good enough? You know, could we learn to be creative and have creative solutions? You know, I was talking to Harville Hendrix about this one day, the other god of marriage. And I said, and we were talking about creative solutions. And I said, well, Harville, give me an example from your own life about creative solution. Because at the moment, I wasn't really getting it. And he said to me, he said, sure. He said, my favorite thing in life is to wake up in the morning, get behind the wheel of a vehicle and drive all day. And he said, Helen's favorite thing in life is to sit in the living room and either do her knitting or her embroidery. And if she has to leave the house, she wants to know how quickly she can get back home. And I said, okay, well, that sounds like an impossible situation. He said, no problem. We bought an RV. I'm always driving. She's always home.
Fantastic. I love that, right? And that comes from that desire to be each other's person. And what I want to clarify to you, dear listeners, if you're listening to this, what Arielle and I are assuming when we're talking about this person, your soulmate, your golden cord, you know, GHQ person, that this is a good human being, that if somebody is treating you badly, doesn't have your back, is throwing down red flags, is criticizing you, maligning you, cheating on you, hitting you, like doing any of those bad things, we're not saying stay with this and commit to this and be all into this. We're assuming right now that you have found this juicy, amazing human being that loves you unconditionally and you love this person unconditionally.
Right.
If this is more the Renu Gandhi toad, we're not telling you stay there and figure your way out from the red flags and just, you know, make it work. I mean, look, they're all good relationships. You're going to have those, as Arielle said, 9 irreconcilable differences, but those differences shouldn't be differences that hurt you physically or emotionally to your core.
Right. You need to be, we all do. All human beings have this one number one core need, which is to feel emotionally and physically safe. Maslow's hierarchy. That's number one. If you don't feel emotionally and physically safe, you need to leave. You need to get out, especially if there are children. Right. So the caveat with wabi-sabi love is that you can't find beauty and perfection in something that's broken. You can find beauty and perfection in an imperfection. Oh, he leaves wet towels on the floor all the time. You know, he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that. There are ways to overlook certain things and pick your battles. But if there's abuse or active addiction or bad behavior, you got to get out and get professional help before you decide if you're ever going back in.
Absolutely. And to that point, when Arielle quoted those divorce statistics, what ends up happening is, even though as human beings, you're a smart person, you're listening to this podcast, you want to hear what Arielle has to say and what I have to say. Even though you have the intellect, you may be a perpetual student of ours, of the universe of love, but what happens is something more insidious. Human beings are creatures of habit, and we do what's comfortable for us versus even what we know is intellectually right, what we would tell our best friend to do. We can tend to have what we call regression to the mean, right? You go back to what you've done on average. And if you have a history of choosing people that are bad for you, that are red flaggy, that are abusive in some way, shape, or form, put some guardrails around you and get help, because we don't want you to end up in that 62% second divorce rate, or 73 or 74 or 7100% third divorce rate. You need to get some help and support around this. The beauty is sometimes for so many of us, it can take a village to find love, and just exhale and say, it's okay if I need help with this, because I'll tell you what, I grew up with this poster in my house. And I know you guys have heard this before on this show, that my chemical engineering dad put up on the wall, and it's the 21 Rules for Success by H. Jackson Brown Jr. Rule number one says, marry the right person. This one decision will determine 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. It takes a village sometimes to find this person. If you didn't have good active role models for you, mom and dad that role modeled in a lovely way what a healthy, happy relationship looked like. Hell, how many of us had that? Most of us did not. How many of us dated the right people right away, right out of the womb when we were in high school or college? Not many of us. Some of us lucked into it. Some of us did a lot of work. It's okay to seek help around this. That is why people like us exist. This isn't natural. It requires a lot of work, and just know that, and don't beat yourself up, and love yourself the way you would love your best friend, and say, okay, maybe this is something that I need help to stay out of that 50, 62, and 71% divorce statistic rate.
You know, I'm a big believer in therapy, you know, absolutely. I think therapy is absolutely critical and necessary. And it's great to have a professional who is another set of eyes who can point out your crazy behavior to you and get you to do other stuff. The other thing is that if we grew up, if our early childhood years were in chaos, right, that feels normal. Yes. That's comfortable. That's home for us. Right. And then we meet a secure type who's a nice guy, and we're not having these wild up and downs with emotion. And you think there's no chemistry and it's boring, when in fact, you know, this is a rock star. This is somebody you could spend your life with. But again, it's because you're counting on the feelings, right? You're looking to your feelings to determine, is this the best I can do for a life partner, right? So you need to be choosing people on their capacity to love, their capacity to give, their capacity to live as their word, to be responsible, to be trustable. And that doesn't happen. That's not love at first sight. You don't open the door and go, oh, 6'2", handsome. Yeah, I choose you. Right. But in the meantime, they've got three other girlfriends and 17 kids from other women. And, you know, but you're just going to step over that. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. And remember, you can choose who you're attracted to. And if you do have attachment issues, right, that is, it's serious. It's probably the number one most important thing that we help our clients do in date coaching and relationship coaching. You know, we have this workshop called Fix Your Picker, right? Which really helps people understand the dysfunction, kind of how our reptilian brains are wired and what kinds of choices we're, you know, we have the most proclivity to make. And after that workshop, what we do with our clients, and I know you do the same, is getting in the weeds and really saying, when you say this person is boring, I'm going to make you go out on a third date with this person, and maybe a fourth date, and maybe a fifth date, and maybe an eighth date. Because when you have someone sitting at the other side of the seesaw from you saying, this is good for you, you don't know this yet, because you've been in roller coaster relationships since you were born. We can't choose our families of origin. And you've tried to replicate that feeling of excitement, which leads to high highs and low lows. Sometimes it takes a therapist, a coach, a best friend, someone to help you understand what good actually is. And it's not your fault. You just haven't been able to be witness to good yet. But I promise you, as part of psychotic optimism, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't had that love yet, you're going to do your golden cord feelingization, and you're going to know that great love exists for me. It's out there. It's a when, it's not an if. And yeah, all I have to do is date like hell to find this person. We're guaranteeing you, between Arielle and me, she says, your love is out there. I'm saying your love is out there. And we're both saying all you have to do is go out there and call them in and find them. Isn't this exciting? I'm so hopeful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and people like to set themselves up for fail. You know, I actually believe there are some people who are addicted to suffering. They've lived in the story for so long. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too damaged. All the good ones are taken. I live in the wrong city, blah, 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 blah. That rather than do the work, put out the effort, take the risk, they live. There's no way you can help them. They just want to hold on to poor me, you know, and it doesn't have to be that way. Because there's 7.5 billion people alive on the planet right now, and half of them are single. Statistically, you're walking past potential soulmate partners every day. But if you're thinking, oh my God, they've got to be 6'2 with a 31-inch waist or whatever, you're never going to see what's right there in front of you.
And if you're telling yourself, I need to be a size 0, 2, or 4 in order to find love, look around. Is it only skinny, micro, mini, LA type of Hollywood models that are in relationships? No. Are you kidding? There are people out there that will love you exactly as you are, at the age you are, and don't fib about your age online, ladies and gentlemen, that will love you exactly the way you look, exactly the way you are, unconditionally.
I just want to add one thing to that. The average size wedding dress sold in this country is a size 16.
Average. Did you hear that? Average. That means for every 0, there's a size 32 out there. Okay. Right. That brings the average to 16.
Yes. Right. Now, the other thing is, let's talk about Beyonce, Halle Berry, Sandra Bullock, Princess Di, Melania Trump, Reese Witherspoon, what's her name? I can think about 10 others. All of these women are either a size 0 or a size 2. They're all very wealthy. They're all beautiful, very accomplished. And the thing they all have in common is they were all cheated on publicly by their husbands. So being rich, beautiful, size 2, successful is no barrier to having a great relationship, or it's no indicator that you will have a great relationship. So it's just one more excuse. Oh, well, when I lose that 20 pounds, but it's not going to happen, because you will lose it. And then you're going to gain back 25. We know this, all right? Everybody's dieted enough to know. I don't care how much weight you lose. Eventually you're going to gain it back plus, right? So it's not about size at all. It's about willingness. Like, am I committed enough to my dream of spending the rest of my life with a partner? And am I willing to have some really horrible experiences dating? Because you will. There's no question about it. You're going to get ghosted. There's going to be catfishers. There are going to be people who lie. You're going to have some terrible experiences. And am I willing to do it anyway, knowing that I'm hanging on to the big picture?
Perfectly segueing into this question that I've wanted to ask you is, you talk a lot about manifesting a soulmate. What do you think, what is the necessary attitude, and what are the key steps to manifesting a soulmate?
I think the most important thing is being in touch with how you most want to feel when you're with your partner. You know, and a good time to do this is either right when you wake up or before you go to sleep, and you're just lying in bed and you've got your eyes closed, and just picture your heart and just imagine, how do I feel in this moment now that I'm with my perfect life partner? I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I'm content, I'm excited, I'm relieved, I'm filled with anticipation, I feel safe, I feel loved, cherished, adored, valued. And let yourself marinate in those feelings and vibrate at that frequency of love. And when you're vibrating at the frequency of love, you become a magnet for even more love.
That's right. You become what you want to attract, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're living in, oh, what's the matter with me? And, you know, why did I eat that cheesecake? And if only I wasn't, 20 pounds thinner, 40 pounds thinner, if I only hadn't broken up with so-and-so 18 years ago, and you live in all this regret and stupid thinking, you're not going to get there. And the other place to really be clear about is having a list of your must-haves and your deal breakers. You have to really know those, like I had some crazy must-haves on my list. One of mine was must be able to walk unassisted. Okay. And the reason for that is I like to walk every single day. And in my imaginary world, I was taking long walks every day with my soulmate. Now, of course, I didn't look far enough into the future to the point where he had arthritis and couldn't walk as much as he used to, but that's what happens when people get older. But, and I had another one, must have English as a first language. Now, I grew up in South Florida where the official language is Spanglish, and words are really important to me. And when you're with somebody who, for me, that doesn't have English as a first language, there are different meanings to words, and communication becomes even more difficult. So I wanted somebody who could walk, who had English as a first language. And the best thing I got that I asked for was I wanted somebody who had a great mother with whom he had a great relationship, because I had heard the mother-in-law stories, and I wanted somebody who A, loved and respected women and had a great mother. And my mother-in-law was like the Buddha of love. I totally won in that department.
And that's why she gave birth to the heart chakra.
Right. He learned at the foot of the Buddha of how to be a loving being. So, yeah. So you've got to know what you're calling in. You also got to know what you won't tolerate. Like for me, I wanted somebody who was leading a healthy lifestyle, which meant, no drugs, no smoking, exercise daily. I don't care what kind of exercise he did. Some people are more specific about that. Like I had a friend on her must-have list, must be a triathlete. And you know what? She only had three things on her list: must be a Christian and love God, must want children right away, must be a triathlete. They met on Tinder and on the first date started planning their wedding. And they've now been, I went to the wedding, they've now been happily married for 7 years with two kids.
Isn't that amazing? Right. And if that is really your must have, a triathlete, right? If someone came to me and said, okay, I'd really like a triathlete, I'd say, is it really? Like, do you have to? And if they said, it's a deal breaker, well, good. That actually narrows the playing field.
Makes it easier.
A lot, right? And suddenly, if you value someone who has done triathlons, most likely a triathlete is going to be more attracted to a fellow triathlete.
So, and who else? Yeah, right. Who else would understand the training involved, right? Most people aren't going to put up with someone who has to train that much. I also had on my must-have list, must love cats, because I've always had cats. Oh, two's plenty, but cats are important. And I had once dated a guy who was allergic to cats, and we only went out once because I opened the front door and he started sneezing, and then he started coughing, and then he started choking. And I just looked at him and he looked at me and we said cats. And so we're now friends on Facebook, but I haven't seen him in 20 something years.
That, well, and for you, reaching over for your 25 pound cat who wasn't in your bed made you, the next domino was, I want to be married. I want a man to be here. And then look at the whole trajectory you went down. So gotta love cats.
Yeah. Cute little critters.
You said something earlier, and I wanted to come back to this. And I know this is so in line with everything we've talked about, but I really want to bring it home for people that are listening. Why living as if will get you to love faster?
Okay. So when you're living as if, your behavior matches your belief. So if your belief is, I'm lovable, I'm deserving of love, my soulmate life partner is out there, we're going to meet soon in the real world, then the living as if would look like every time you walked into a card shop, you'd be buying them birthday cards, anniversary cards, Valentine's Day cards, I love you just because cards. Every time you see a concert or a play you want to go to, you're buying two tickets with the plan to be you're going to take them to go on that sort of thing. So your behavior matches your belief. Your belief is I'm worthy of love. I, on the other side, my soulmate or I together, soon we'll be together in the 3D world. This is what life is going to look like together. You know, and for me, I took it a step further. I ended up, you know, changing the sheets and the decor of my bedroom, because it was a very girly bedroom. The walls were pink. Everything was pink, you know, so, right. But I was dating. So I changed things thinking, well, you know, if I were a guy, would I be comfortable in this very girly pink, white lace, you know, duvet, you know, it was very girly. But no, probably not. So I toned it down a little bit. So living as if is an important part of it. It's like dress for the job you want, not the job you have. It's the same concept.
I love this. This is all so great. Ariel, I'm blown away at your wisdom and your knowledge, and couldn't be more grateful that you said yes to this conversation. And
anything for you, Bella. I love you. I love who you are in the world. I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you are providing so much truth and wisdom in this crazy world where, you know, people are just beat up every day with bullshit about what's true and what's real about love, you know, and you're sharing it. So I'm happy. Anytime you want me, just call me.
Well, I love it because I know we were introduced, this is our soulmate connection, by someone else who was in the day coaching space who put Ariel and I together for a potential interview for a summit that you and Claire Zammit were doing. And when Ariel and I got on the phone, I felt this, like, I was talking to someone I had been friends with for a long time. And after what was supposed to be just that one interview that we did over the phone, we stayed in contact and we became friends and we would do phone catch-ups and we had dinner in Chicago together, you guys. So remember, there are people out there that want to love you, people that want to have relationships with you. Be open to the possibilities.
Absolutely.
And you too can have a friend like Ariel Ford if you're lucky. Oh, thank you so much, my dear friend.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.